Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your friend, the Last Nighter, again, speaking from the Hacha Machacha Little Theater, just two bars from Dixie. Well, things are certainly booming here at the Little Theater, and your friend, the Last Nighter, is going to have to get busy right away, sending out some circular letters about our next week's programming. Annie, will you get started on sending them out?
Listen, Uncle Hangnails, I can't send out no circular letters.
Why not?
We haven't got any round envelopes.
We haven't any round envelopes. You couldn't send them out on a half shell, could you?
For this clam bake, I probably could.
Well, never mind. I think a bit of overture would be about the best we can do here. That's your business, Mr. Greer.
I thought rhythm was his business.
That was weeks ago. Carry on, Jimmy.
Folks, we'd like to show to you what this Greer band can do. Play it hot, play it sweet, do it in a manner that's really neat.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's
syncopation? Play it, Frixie, play it. Cliffy took his old cornet, called on his girl one day.
Boy, she laughed when he sat down beside her.
Yeah, but when he started to play,
yeah.
Play it, Cliffy, play it. Here's a lad in Jimmy's band, resorts to every trick.
He claims that every man has a woman.
Yeah, but the Iceman has his pick.
Oh. Oh,
it's just me.
Play it, Teddy, play it. Next we introduce to you a man with a soul of souls.
He bought a flute, but he sent it back
because he thought it was full of holes.
Play it, Frankie, play it. The other night in the Biltmore Bowl, many a tear was shed.
Someone threw a tomato at one of the acts.
Our face is red. Play it, Lanky, play it. Thing that makes the band sound slick is Jimmy in front when he waves that stick. Swish it, Jamesy, swish it. Friends, Romans.
That was classical, Jimmy. It was darn near semi-classical. And if I hear any more about it, I'll scream.
What key?
F.
Too high for me.
Well, it's not too high for Lily Pons.
Lily Pons? Since when have you gone in for garden architecture?
Not architecture, just framework. Now, quiet. We've got to get on with the Little Theater's variety show.
What kind of a show?
I don't want to quibble with you, Oscar. I said it's a variety show.
Huh. When does that start? When have you had any variety in your show?
Oh, hard words. Insults we're getting off, eh? Well, Oscar, it affords me the greatest pleasure to shoot you down like a St. Bernard for that crack. Annie, hand me my shotgun.
Gosh, have you got a shotgun with you?
Yeah.
Is it loaded?
Yes, it's loaded.
Elmer, the man's ready.
Yeah, well, I've been ready and waiting. Where you been for the last couple hours?
Well, you see, Elmer, I've been with my new gal, the big one. She was a-sitting on my lap. Who?
Fine stuff. That big fat gal sitting on your little old lap. Oscar, it's a wonder you ain't So you went Hollywood, huh?
Not fur, leastways.
Listen, you're gonna turn out worse than that slick-haired city slicker that spent his vacation out on my gal P.S. Peen's farm last summer.
I reckon I ain't never heard about him none.
Well, he's something for you to hear about. He'd be a good lesson to you. He came out there, Oscar, and the first time he'd ever been on any farm. He was dumber than us, and he was dumber than us, dumber than you are. He thought that old windmill out behind the barn was an electric fan for keeping the cows cold.
Not really.
He certainly did. Teen's ma sent him out one night to gather up a hat full of eggs, and he was gone for just 2 hours. Finally, he come back with his hair full of chicken feathers and face and hands all scratched up and carrying 10 eggs and 2 baby chest chickens in his hat. He spent all that time fighting Ma's best setting hand. 2 of them eggs had hatched out while he was carrying them up the house, and he said he had no idea where them little birds come from.
Plum dumb, huh?
Yeah, plum. He kept nagging my gal's team to take him hunting, too, but she couldn't do it. She was too busy training a goose. So one morning, he got old team's old 10-barrel to double-gauge shotgun, jumped in the old Model T, and started off down the road. Durn fool didn't even know which end of the gun the noise and stuff come out of. But he was just set on getting the big game. He was driving along, blowing all them fancy duck calls and moose whistles and scaring all the game clear out of the country. And all at once he spied old Charlie Metzler's old Maltese tomcat sitting on a rock wall fence. I reckon he thought it was a lion or a hippopotamus.
Uh-oh. He never shot it, is it?
Oscar, he jerked back on the lever and stomped on the reverse pedal and jumped out with both barrels loaded and cocked. He run around in front of the old Model T. He dropped the one knee and took dead aim. He shut both eyes and jerked both triggers and blowed the front wheels clean off the old Ford. Teen heard the shooting, jumped on that old yellow cow she's always riding around, grabbed it by the horns and kicked it in the flank and rode down there to where he was. And there he was.
Where?
He was lying clean over in the ditch, just where the gun had kicked him to. Both eyes swelled shut, the two teeth gone. Messler's old tomcat is sitting on his chest, playing mouse with one of them duck whistles he had tied around his neck. And there sat the old Model T, both front wheels gone. The disgusted look on his face, its chin in the dirt. Oscar, don't go Hollywood.
A bit of fanfare would be in order here, but I guess we're fresh out of fanfares. Anyhow, last week in Chicago, a large city in the Middle West, the International Chapter of the Explorers Mutual Admiration Society held their annual get-together in clam bake on the shores of Lake Michigan.
I protest. There were no clams in Lake Michigan last week. In fact, no mussels of any sort. If there are any there now, I put them in.
I see. Mussling in again, eh? Well, no matter. As I was saying, the Explorers Mutual Admiration Society met and decided a number of important things. Quick, boys, think of a number.
Murray Hill, 89933.
And if a man answers, you're just testing for the phone company. Catch on? Well, in this vast assembly of explorers were Rear Admiral Dickey Bird, the penguin's friend and discoverer of the three poles.
Wait a minute. There are only two poles.
No, three poles. The North Pole.
Yeah.
The South Pole.
Yeah.
And the biggest pole of all, Pole Whiteman.
Pole Whiteman. I give in.
Oh, good-o. Now, where were we? Oh, yes. Among those present were Rear Admiral Dickey Bird, discoverer of three poles, four fins, and an Eskimo master of ceremonies, and Captain Boob Torplett, the skipper of the Little Porosie.
What do they call a ship the Little Porosie for?
Because the bottom is made of Swiss cheese.
Well, you ought to know, you rat.
Quiet. Let's see now. Rear Admiral Dickey Bird, Captain Boob Torplett. Oh, yes, Mr. and Mrs. Martin Torpson, who know Darkies Africa like the back of your hand, if you think that's any fun. And, Richard Hooleybutton, who swam the Hellespont using a jazz version of the Australian crawl, and a pair of water wings named Fanchon and Marco. We now bring you the minutes of the meeting, presided over by Mr. Sylvester J. Fizzfoz, president of the club and the man who is trying to put the St. Vitus dance on a 30-hour week. There's supposed to be a sound effect here. It says, General Hubbub, probably a West Pointer. Order, order, order. And the first guy who says, I want to take a ham sandwich, will have to sit with a girl. We'll first hear from Mrs. Martin Torpson, the African explorer.
Her middle name is Laura.
Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Good evening, friends and brother explorers. The first day I arrived in Africa, I bagged two lions.
How did you bag the lions?
They were hanging around the tent, and I bagged them to go away.
Hooray for Mrs. Torpson.
He's looking kind of frowsy.
Her gags are getting lousy.
Hooray, hooray, hooray.
Order, 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 please. Now tell us, Mrs. Torpson, what did you learn about elephants in Africa?
Elephants? What are elephants?
What are elephants? Well, you know. Look, here's a picture of one.
Don't be silly. I've seen pictures of those things in the paper. That's not an elephant. It's a gop.
A gop?
Yeah, a gop. G-O-P, gop.
500 pounds of pemmican, 7 tons of dried vegetables, 2 old cornets...
Say, who is this guy?
Why, that's Rear Admiral Dickey Bird. He's figuring out his supplies.
Oh, I know him. So you were at the Arctic Circle with that man and woman, weren't you?
What man and woman? I was alone.
You were with a man and a woman. When you sent your wireless for supplies, you said, the food is running short. I am waiting here for you with dread and misgiving.
Dread and misgivings. A man and woman. Let's forget it. I'm all a dither over my next Arctic trip anyhow. I just invented a compass that works in the dark.
Pooh, what good is a compass?
Well, a compass has its points. Whew. Anyhow, it works in the dark. It's a talking compass.
A talking compass.
Yeah, you see, if it's headed north...
It's a miracle.
Remind me to see what size bullet she takes, will you? Well, if the compass is pointed south, it says Yowza. If it's pointed east...
Your complexion clears up.
If it's pointed east, your complexion clears up?
Sure. East is good for the complexion.
Rudy Valley, please copy. Anyway, when it's pointed to the west...
Yes, yes. When it's pointed to the west, what does it say?
When it's pointed to the west, it says...
Get a load of these curves, big boy. I'm no angle.
You'd better play pretty loud, Jimmy.